soul has found its rest. I no longer have to wander. I found my place in the family of God. Oh, nowhere else can I find a sweeter refuge than I found body of Christ.
You know, I really didn't intend to get up, but you know, I haven't been here in a few days, and I really miss it. I do. I miss being at church when I'm not here. But the reason why I got up, you can blame this on the singers. The song she was singing, "Thank You, Lord, for Including Me." But there was a part in there, it says, "My blinded eyes have been opened, and new sight I now see. And you brought me to this truth." The thought was, that crossed my mind was, and I hope this inspires somebody maybe, that what is it that when you know you're included, what is it that you, that God can do to you that you know you're included in His plan or in the body of Christ? Is it when God deals with your soul, with your heart, to give up the thing? See, Christ asked Peter, he said, "Whom do thou say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God." And he said, "Man did not reveal this to you, but God Himself revealed this to you." And so I was thinking of that because I thought, God, what is it that you have revealed to me that gives me a desire to go to church? And when is it that I know that God has really included me? Is it when I'm done eating, I get up and take the trash out without being asked? Or do I clean out the bathrooms without being asked? Or is it when God moves on me and gives me the Holy Ghost? Or what is it that really includes me in the family of God? What is it? Because out of this whole world of all the people on this the face of the earth that is living today, God chose me to be here. And why? Why did God choose me to be here? Am I something special? Am I something that is higher up than just what the world has to offer? You know, I think, God, Lord, if you have included me in this, I feel so unworthy. I feel so unworthy that God has chosen someone like me that has such a rebellious spirit, that has a Adamic nature that I still suffer with. But at the same time, God chose me to dine at His table. And I feel so blessed of it. I really do. I feel like, God, you have entrusted me in something that I still don't comprehend in what it is. And I still haven't fully acknowledged, you know, what God has entrusted me in. But I feel so unworthy. But I feel so fortunate to be able to partake of that. You see what I'm? You understand what I'm trying to say? And I know we all feel that way. I know we all do, because we rub shoulders with the world out there, and we see on the news now that things are just going on and stuff. But to be in the house of God and to let God's Spirit touch our souls, we are a blessed people. And to be in the body of Christ, we are a blessed people. Because I it's just like the song that Sister Bryant was singing. He brought me to the truth. and the truth have set me free. It's just like being afraid of the dark. Are you afraid to walk out in the dark tonight? To go out in the woods and you hear the... Are you are? Why? Bugs. Well, you can swat them off of you. You know? Snake. Are you afraid of snakes? Are you afraid of critters jumping on you? Well, then take a flashlight. And you can see them before they get on you. Are you still scared? Well, see, that's what I'm saying. The truth. When the truth comes about, it's just like turning the lights on in a river of darkness. It's just like, and you can see everything. You say, well, you know, that thing looked like a big old snake, but it was nothing but a little tree limb that it looked, you know, because the moon was on that thing just right. You know, have you ever been walking through the woods and you let your mind get the best of you? And you start thinking, man, I'm hearing stuff. I hear a panther out there. I know it is. You know, it's not only a panther, it's a tiger. No, maybe it's a lion. He's after me. He wants to eat me. You know, well, it ain't nothing but a little kitty cat out there meowing. You know, but and that's the way it is with the truth of God. When God reveals the truth to you, it's just like he turns the lights on. And you see that what it really is. It's nothing. It's nothing. And so I appreciate being here tonight, don't you? I'm excited. I'm excited that's what's out there ahead for us. I'm excited of that. It excites me. And I, like I said before, I'm still trying to realize why God brought me here. I mean, it's not but I do have to say sometimes I get totally confused, you know. So please give me that privilege of being confused at times, you know. Maybe it's the senior moments, you know. But, then I'll get back on track after that senior moment's over. I'll get back in there again, you know. It's very few and far between when I have those. But you know what? I do know this. I'm in the body of Christ, and I'm in the best place that I can be. I can be here knowing that God loves me. I can be here knowing that I'm in a place that I can hear the truth, and it will set me free. But anyway, pray for us. I thought, I'm not going to get up tonight. I'm not going to say nothing, but I just can't help it. I'm a blowhard. I can't help it. I love God. I love him. I love God. I appreciate him. I may not know very much about anything else, but I know God loves me because he has proved it to me too many times. And the younger you are and the earlier you realize that God loves you and he wants to save your soul, the better off you are. You know, if you're a young person and you finally realize God loves you and he wants to help you and he wants to straighten us up. But anyway, pray for us. We need your prayers.
Be here tonight, and it's good to be here with all of you. Brother Smith is in New York, they're having a Haitian meeting, so he's in New York there, way up on the East Coast, and it's good to see Sister Painter back, isn't it? We've missed her. A lot of prayers have went up for her, so it's good to see her sitting back over there in her chair. We sure did miss you, Sister Painter.
Oh, is he?
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, well, we'll have to pray for him. It's good to see Sean here, too. A lot of prayers have gone up for you. And if you weren't here Sunday night, wasn't that just so encouraging? I've been feasting on that service the whole week, listening to everybody's testimony. And you, if you weren't here, you got to get the video and watch Sister Tally. she really got wound up, and she did good. And everybody that got up and talked, and I learned something about every one of you, a little bit about your testimony. And a lot of that I didn't know about you, Sister Dolores. So I was glad you got up. I appreciated that. You'll get used to me. Pretty soon you'll know the look. You know, like Sister Yvonne and Sister Cindy, they've been around me almost 29 years, and I got a certain look when I won another song. I got a certain look on my face, and I was trying to go like that, but you'll get the look pretty soon. It takes a while. Don't it, Sister Cindy? Yeah. Everybody's different. But I'm glad to be here tonight. And I appreciated Brother Jerry's testimony, and everyone's been talking a lot about the body of Christ. That was pretty much what the service was about Sunday, coming to the body of Christ. And I don't care if you've been in it, just if this is your first day, or if you've been in here 60 years, like some of you have, I hope we never lose that appreciation. I hope we don't ever lose that place, Sister Crow, that we can't go back. I appreciate Sister Crow's testimony. And when she says it, you can tell she really feels it, and she has a conviction about it, about how she used to pray that God would send somebody along that would teach them about the Bible. And then how God sent a man from the body and talked to him, helped add him to the body of Christ. There's just something about that feeling, something about that anchor. I know a lot of you, in your testimony, like Sister Lynette was talking about Sunday, you grew up in here, and this is probably all you've known. And I wish I could have had that. I didn't come into the body until I was 29 years old. I wish I could have been, you know, one of those little ones that sit out there or lay out there on the pew or get down here and sing and dance. Some of these 4 and 5 and 6 year old, it just does your heart good, doesn't it, Brother Daniels, to see these young ones out there dancing, because you know they may be just having fun right now, but before long they'll really be doing it in the spirit. And I wish I could have been brought up in a church like this, but God knows. Part of my testimony was that my wife and I, we kind of grew up just a few miles, 10, 12 miles from Chino, California, where Brother Mears was, that big church out there, and we didn't even know it. And Brother Jerry, it's always amazed me that not only did God want to add me to the body, but God could have added me there in California. You know, God saw fit to move my wife and I 850 miles and to hook up with Brother Smith, and I've never regretted that. That's something that's always been an anchor in my life, is even though I've been in it 29 years, I can look back, and it's like it was still yesterday, how God started adding us to the body, and the love that we felt from God's people there in the Brother Smith Church there in Midland, Texas, and the way everybody went out of their way to make us feel welcome and to feel comfortable. And then some of the truths that we started receiving. When I first came in, we were like everybody else. We were just blind as a bat, and we didn't know where we were, but we sure did feel the Spirit, and we liked that. We loved it. We had home service in Brother Doug's house, and I remember some of them getting so excited, they'd jump up. Some of them sat on the couch. We had chairs, and we had couches, and some of them would jump up off the couch, and they'd run through the hallway, and then they'd come back or back around, and they'd jump over the couch, and they'd take off again. And I wasn't feeling that at first. You know, my wife was, but I wasn't feeling that at first. But after a while, I started hearing a little bit about the doctrine. And I remember going over to Brother Smith's house, and we would we'd get over there a lot of times. Sister Smith, you know, she would, I think she'd fix dinner for us. That's been so long, I'm pretty sure she did. She was always real hospitable, and if you'd come over, she always had something for you to eat. But we'd go over and we'd talk until the wee hours of the morning. Wouldn't be anything to be at Brother Smith's house till 11 or 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And I remember one, and the things that came out of him, you know, I've known man of God before, but the things that would come out of him, they were, I don't know if you've ever felt it. Some of you that were brought up in this, you probably never felt it, but my wife and I, we had a strong desire to find God. And we were looking for his people. And we tried everything. We tried all different kinds of churches. You've heard my testimony a little bit. And we never could find satisfaction. We never could find exactly where we fit in, where God wanted us. That doesn't mean that there wasn't a lot of God's people out there, that we didn't feel God. But there was a drawing, like it says in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter. Actually, the Song of Solomon, it says, draw us and we will run after you. Well, Brother Jerry, you can't be here unless God's drawing you. It's just like salvation. It says, no man comes to the Son except my Father draw him. You just don't decide one day to get up and go to church and turn your heart over to the Lord. No, that's a work of the Holy Ghost. God has to, the Spirit of God, he sent that out throughout the world to try and find a heart that is sensitive to the dealing of the Holy Ghost. Try to find a way to connect with, because it's not God's will that anybody should perish. It's God's will that all should come to know his Son, that all should inherit eternal life, that all should grow to a place that they could have the Spirit of Christ in them, just like what we're desiring. So God sent that out to look for places that it might harbor, that it might dwell in, and then he starts to draw you when the Holy Ghost finds a heart that is sensitive to him. He starts to draw it, and so you don't even come to God. In fact, you don't even feel a conviction without the Spirit of God drawing you. And then it's the same way in the body of Christ. God has to draw you to this. God has to call your name and call you out. And one thing about this that I love is that you're in this until you say no. God includes you, and you go with his people until you start saying no. That's one thing I found out about God. If I could just learn to say yes to him all the time, I'd like to be like Moses. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth because he didn't resist God. That doesn't mean that he never had trouble with what God told him to do. There were times he had trouble. There were times he tried to figure out a different way to do it other than what God told him to. But when it came right down to it, when God spoke to him out of the cloud, or when God talked to him on top of the mountain, Moses never did resist that. He just said, yes, Lord. He had that meek spirit, that humble spirit. God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. That's one thing Brother Smith told me when I first came in. If you want to be a part of this, and if you want to stay, learn to become like a little child. It says this, it says, in understanding be ye men, but albeit in malice be ye children. And that is, we're to grow to a place where we have a full understanding, that we know not only what the Word of God says, but we let those principles lead us, and we let them guide every facet of our life. You know, the Bible's a big thing. And finally, every part of our life, from the time we get up until the time that we go to bed at night, is to be governed by the principles contained in the Word of God. And that's a big process. You ever see how many principles are in there? How many types and how many shadows and how many things? Paul said this. He said, I've not failed to deliver unto you the whole counsel of God. In fact, he later went on to say that everything that you need concerning godliness and righteousness, it says, is contained in this book. We just need to learn to dig it out, to see what God says about this one thing. I want to know what God says about something. I don't particularly care what man says about something, but what does God say about it? What does God love? What does God hate? What does God put his honor on? And then what are the things that are just pleasing unto the Lord? I want to get that way in my life. That's what happened to Jesus. If you want to stay in this, and if you want to grow in this, you have to become like Christ in this sense, that is, he loved righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Righteousness is doing things the way God does them, the way that Christ would do them, the way that's contained in the principles contained in the Bible, to do things the right way. And a lot of times righteousness starts out as something mechanical. When we first start out in God, we do things because we heard that that's what pleases God. We may not have a full understanding of something. And then I found that even when you start to get understanding about a principle, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be a principle of faithfulness. It can be a principle of tithing. It can be a principle of lying, stealing. There's even layers to that. And the more you grow in God, the deeper in those layers you're going to get until you finally get down to the core essence of what God is trying to develop in your life, which is His nature and His character. But when you first start out, a lot of the things that we do are mechanical. We have to do those things. I remember when my wife and I, we first came in, we saw that y'all had such a wonderful spirit about things. We couldn't rile you up. It didn't matter if we tried. We just couldn't rile you up. You just would love us so much. And then we looked at your lives, and my wife and I, we were so hungry for God, we thought, we want what they got. You know, that's what it takes to go on with God. You got to be hungry. That's what the Bible says. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. Well, Brother Daniels, when we came here, we were hungry and we were thirsting after righteousness. We were tired of seeing the way that man did things, but we wanted to know, what saith the Lord? What's the Lord say about this? What's he think about this? We wanted to find out where he hid that little Shulamite woman. And so when we came around, we saw the way that y'all did things, and we started doing those things mechanically. Well, you know, the Lord will bless that to a certain measure. Yeah, he will. God will start to bring peace in your life. If you're just at that place where you have very little understanding, but you do things out of a desire to blend in. You know, that's one of the things that it says in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out her 7 pillars. She's killed her beasts. She's mingled her wine. Did you know that we're to come in here, and not only when it talks about wine, that's talking about our spirit and the spirit of God. Not only are we to learn to mingle our spirits, to become one with the spirit of God, but just as important or even more important than that is to learn to blend our spirits together, to learn how to be in the same church and to finally get to the place where we're not rubbing on each other. You know, when you first come into this, maybe some of y'all had a few more corners knocked off of your stone in the brook of life than what I did, but I wasn't a very round stone. I had a lot of sharp edges. But over the years, as the water, the Spirit of God, just like a natural brook, that water, it flows over those stones, and then they rub together. You can go into a brook, and you can pick something up, and that stone will just be so smooth. It'll have no rough edges on it at all. Well, that takes a long time, but when we first came around, we tried to do the things that y'all did, and it worked to a measure, but we found out that it's got to go from something mechanical to it's got to go into your heart where it becomes a part of you. I remember when I used to watch y'all dance. We had a small church, and I used to, my wife, she'd get out there and dance, and I wanted to, but I had to do it the right way. If I'm going to do something, it's going to be the right way, so I would study. And then I'd watch Brother Ayers. He was the one that could really kick up his heels, and Brother Smith. I'd go home and I'd practice. And I thought, okay, when they have this certain kind of a song, they dance like that. So next song service, they'd get out and they'd start dancing, and they changed the dance on me. And I thought, well, there's got to be a secret to this, because this is different than what they did last week. So I'd watch them, and I'd think, okay, I got 2 steps down now. You know, if they do this one, if they do that one, I can. And sure enough, they do something different. I finally just had to jump in. I finally came to the conclusion, you can't figure this out. You just got to go. And if you do the Holy Ghost stomp, well, the Lord, He'll accept that. But a lot of the things we started doing on a mechanical basis, I had no idea. I wasn't brought up in church. We went to church 1 or 2 times when I was growing up. And my mom, she came from a Pentecostal background, but when we moved away from her family, when I was 6, we just kind of left church behind us. And I didn't have a lot of the principles that y'all have been so blessed to come up with. And I remember when we came to the body, when Brother and Sister Smith found us, I gave up this one job. They were going to transfer me, and I gave up this one job. And I went to work for this apartment complex, making $5 an hour with four little children. And we really tried to take the things of God that we heard and to apply them in our life. We didn't have any understanding. All I heard was you had to pay 10%. I thought, well, if it takes 10%, if it takes me paying 10% of everything I make to get the peace and the joy and the love and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the meekness and the temperance and the faith that this body has, it'd be well worth it, Brother Daniels. In fact, I think it would be well worth it to give it all if we could just get that spirit that y'all had when I first came around. So we started doing that on a mechanical basis. Well, over the years, we learned the principles behind giving, recognizing that everything that you have comes from God. There's not anything good in your life that doesn't come from God. God, he has it all, and he's just blessed us, and that's just a way to give forth, to show him that we recognize his hand in our life, that that it's not something we have to do. But I'm thankful that we are in a church today that believes in tithing. It's a principle. I used to think, well, I can't give very much to the church because you're only making $5 an hour. So when you get your paycheck coming around, that's not very much money. But I found out that it's not so much that the church needs it. The church does need the money, but I needed to do it to get that principle down in my life. And it's the same thing with everything else, with holy living, with learning to walk uprightly, learning how to walk in this world and remain unspotted from the influences out there. That's not an easy thing to do, and it takes God, and it takes a persistence on our part to walk worthy of our vocation, to find out what God's wanting us to do. And I remember I used to have to take it to extremes when I first we moved from Texas to Missouri. We'd only been in the body for 3 years, and I was still getting all these principles down in my life, still struggling with things, just simple things, just trying to get those things out of my life and trying to walk in righteousness. That second part of the scripture is because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. I found out you have to learn to hate iniquity, and that is you have to learn to do the will of the Lord. You have to find out what God wants for your life. And at first it may start out as a generalization that God is all you may know about. God is, God is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's all you may know about God. But God will take that one truth, that one principle, and he will start to build a framework upon it. You know, Brother Souders used to teach, and I think it's a good analogy, that the principles or the truths, the laws contained in the Bible, it's like your bones. That's what's going to help you to stand upright. If you don't have a bone in your body, you won't be able to stand. You'll just be a blob of flesh. But God gave us bones so that we might stand upright for locomotive. And Brother Souders taught that those truths contained in there, in the Word of God, they are the bones that hold us upright and keep us together. And so God starts to add those things in your life when he causes you to grow. And so I'm thankful for the process that he's putting us through, the truths that he's let us see. And I'm really thankful for the body. We've been in here 29 years, and we've had hard times. My wife and I, we've gone through things. We've had to make stands against my natural family. That's not an easy thing to do. To make a stand against your natural family, but we love this way, and we constantly look back to when God added us, and all those things that he did for us, all the years that he's helped us and showed us his love, and we finally got to the place where, you know, it's amazing to us. Sister Smith said it one time. She said it here not too long ago. People are trying to get into this. They're looking for this. There's people out there like you and I. They're looking to get into this. They're hungering, and they're thirsting for this. And when they find it, they lay hold on it, and they won't let it go until God changes their name. Just like Jacob, he wrestled with the Lord, that angel, all night, until the Lord blessed him and changed his name. You know, we're trying to do the same thing. We're trying to get a name change. I'm trying to get a new name. That's what it says in the book of Revelations. He that overcometh will receive a new name that no man knoweth saving him that receiveth it. I used to wonder, what is that name? I'd looked in the Bible and I couldn't find anywhere what that name would be, but somebody told me, they said, it's not so much a natural name like Roy or Bob or George or Sam or any of those other names, but it's a character, it's a nature. Because they told me a name, according to Bible, is someone's character. That's their nature, that's their authority. And so they said, when God gives you a new name, that's just simply meaning that he's given you a new character, a new nature, and a new way of walking in this life, so that we'll finally get to the place. Philip one time asked Jesus, he said, show us the Father. Jesus said, have I been so little with you, Philip, that you don't know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Don't you know the Lord's trying to work that in us tonight? He's trying to put his character, his nature. If we're going to be a part of the family, we're going to have those characteristics in our life. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I believe that that's possible. We can live that way today through the help of the Holy Ghost and just learning to say yes. So far, Brother Jerry, I haven't said no. There's been times where I've stuttered, you know. And my problem is I'll look ahead and I'll start counting the cost. But the Lord said this. He said, take no thought for the morrow. He said, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. The Lord, he just wants us to concentrate on what's going on in our life right now. Don't worry about what's going to come in the future. The Lord's got all that under control. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the outcome. He knows how to take care of us. And so I'm thankful for what he's doing for us and for the body of Christ and for the vision that he's given us. And let's pray for each other that we just forget how to say no to the Lord. So while I'm up here, I'd like to take up the offering also and take up prayer request. Let's pray for Brother Smith. I know he was really looking forward to going to this meeting. He must be really sick to not go. So let's pray that God would touch his body. Let's keep praying for Sister Wilkins. Let's keep praying for Brother DJ. God would help his back to heal up. Sister Elsie. All right. Brother Randy and her family. Sister Fisher. Who? Oh, okay. Okay. All right, let's pray for that. And I wanted to also say how good it is to have Brother Pryor and Brother Fisher back home with us. They were up north blessing the saints there in the Wichita church. Aren't we glad that they're back home? Didn't we miss them? Yeah. Thankful for them. We know when you're gone. Brother Keith. All right, let's keep praying for Brother Dodson. Let's keep praying for Sister Bonnie Smith. God would touch her body. Justice Pryor is sick, and Sister Pryor is home with them. All right. Brother Stewart. Oh, Sister Lynette is sick. Sister Abraham. All right. Let's pray for them. The unspoken. I know a lot of us have family and loved ones and dear friends that are wandered from this way that need God. Let's pray for all those in our families that have wandered away from God. All right, let's stand and let's take these prayer requests before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, for your goodness. God, God, we pray that you would touch Brother Dodson. God, keep encouraging him. Lord, touch his body. Give him strength, Lord. Sister Wilkins, Lord, and Sister Wilson, touch their bodies. God, help them, Lord. They need your help, Lord. For Brother Randy Ratliff, God, touch him, Jesus, and Sister Elsie's family, Lord. They need your help, Lord. For Brother Smith, touch his body, God. Touch him tonight. Help him, Jesus. Lord, these unspoken prayer requests, God, all those that have wandered out of your way, God, would you let them feel your love and your comforting hand tonight, God. Let them feel that you care for them, Lord. Bring them back into your fold, Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. We need you, Lord. And Sister Abraham's family, God, touch him, Lord. Help him, comfort him, Jesus. Bless this offering, God. Use it, Lord, for your work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, you can be seated. Does anybody know whose little hand this is? Because it's driving me crazy up here. I keep wanting to wave it at you. Does anybody know? It looks like a Mr. Potato Head hand. But you wait till you get up here and you start talking. This little thing just sitting there looking at you. You just want to start playing with it. Anybody? All right. Thank you.
To get up, but since Brother Durham brought up about Sunday night, that's when I really wanted to get up, but it was like, you know, kept going pretty fast. Anyways, but he brought up tonight about how he was at Chino, California, and didn't know about the body. Well, a lot of them have always has asked me about my testimony, and, you know, I've just never really, I mean, a lot of people don't know, but a lot of you do. But same with me, and like Sister Lynette said, she wasn't really, like, God didn't deal with her to come here because of her parents. Well, same with me. It was because of parents. And back in 62, we were in Oklahoma, and we were living on the same street where Brother Lineker had his church. And my dad was a painter, and he was a Baptist minister, and him and Brother Lineker worked together. And he went to his church a couple of times, but I don't remember me going. Maybe I did. I don't know. My memory's pretty bad. But then my grandma got real, real sick, and Daddy was the closest to her, so they took her to the hospital in Houston. So here we go. We moved to Houston, Texas, and the church was in Milam and McGowan, and we had an apartment right by the church, and Dad answered an ad in the paper about needing a painter. It was Brother Bob Walker. And so but the, he invited us to church at Brother Patton's. So we, you know, went. We even sang, my dad and my sister and me and myself. We used to have a, he used to have a, like I said, he was a Baptist minister, so he had a radio program, radio ministry, and we used to sing with him. Believe it or not, I could sing back then. My voice is gone now, but we sang, and we used to go to jailhouses and rest homes and all that, nursing homes. They used to call them rest homes back then, to sing to the elderly. And I guess that's why I have a love, because I'm getting there too now, but I mean, the elderly, you know, way older. Because I remember my dad used to say, y'all need to respect these people, because one day you're going to be there. And we're like, no way, Dad, I'm never going to get that old, you know. And I didn't know what I was saying, because I want to get that old. But he's the one that put that in me to where I really have a lot of respect for the elderly, and I have it for everybody, but you know, my heart really goes out to them. So anyways, from then, my she passed away and all that, and then my stepmother's mother got real sick, and she was living here in Little Rock. So, but in the meantime, Brother Walker had told Dad that there was a church like that, church here in Little Rock, when they found out that we had to move over here. I didn't move with them at the time. They came first, and then I came later. I went and stayed with my aunt. But they looked at this church, the old church, and they started coming, and we lived back there in the old church, in the back of the church and everything, different houses and all that. But what I'm trying to say is all that did not click. You know, I didn't, you know, I was a kid. I was from 12 years old all the way till I was 15. All this was going on. But I look back and I was like, wow, you know, God really wanted us here for some reason. And I mean, I'm the only one that's left. I mean, my brother, well, you know, he doesn't really have a vision, but I had to get my own vision of this, or I wouldn't have stayed. I don't want to take it for granted, because a lot of times, you know, I just think, I have to stop and think. And that's when Sunday night, when people were talking about how they got here and all that, and I thought, wow, I went all the way around the world to get to here, and being around the body people, all, not even knowing, you know, just blind as a bat, because, you know, I was Baptist. And let me tell you, I, as a child, I knew, I mean, I, something was different when I went to visit some Pentecostal church. I could tell there was a difference, and I thought, I'd rather go to their church, because they're like lively, you know, they dance, and we used to, of course, make fun, because, you know, I was just a kid, 9, 10 years old, and be like, oh my God, look at those ladies, you know, they were so funny, jumping up and down. And but God got me back, because I do the same thing that those little old ladies were doing. And I, oh my goodness, that's why I never say never, because I always said, oh, I'll never do that. But I ended up doing some of those things. So I've learned a lot, and grown a lot in both ways. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that God saw something, you know, in this Mexican girl, and for some reason. And I'm thankful, because I know that that I still got a long ways to go, but at least I don't have a desire to leave the church, or if I get down or whatever, I start listening to my music. I'm not getting off the record, but I've had several people tell me, goes, I've texted you and you didn't even respond. And I've said before, about a year ago, I don't have texting. I'm an old person. I don't do that. And I don't have it in my phone. In other words, I don't pay for it. So I don't have it. So if you're texting, it's going somewhere, not to me. So just call me, or if you're my friend on Facebook, give me a message there or something. I'm not ignoring you. And then the other part, you know, about I'm glad that my son, this is weird, got on Facebook, but he was talking to me about how I, you know, I'm is that the word, illiterate, like kind of, instead of saying dumb, you know, on Facebook stuff. I apologize, you know, but I, you know, whenever I would put stuff that I like, I thought all that was going to my wall. That's it. You know, I was the only one's going to see it. But he's like, Mom, you're going you're going out of, you know, another, you're overdoing it. You're doing this. I'm like, I didn't know that. I apologize to y'all for flooding your pages or whatever. You know, I don't mean to do that. It's, to me, it was those things that I just wanted. I love them, you know, or funny stuff or whatever, you know. And I would do it, but now, you know, because I don't research stuff, you know. So here he's only been on there, a month or two, and he knows more than I do. And so, and he's going to come over and show me how to do some stuff and hide some of my family that does not speak very kind. So I didn't know about that either, that I could. I don't want to hurt their feelings by deleting them, so I'm going to hide them. So anyway, I know I got off the track, but I just thought I'd go ahead and get it all out in the open and just do my apologies and about not texting you back. I wasn't ignoring me, and about flooding your pages. So I just want to say I love all of y'all, and I really felt a real good spirit Sunday night. I mean, I feel it all the time, but I'm saying I felt so in tune with everybody, family-wise. I mean, I have a big family everywhere, but in Little Rock, I don't have very many. But the ones that I have, I'm not as close anymore like I was the way I am with people here. So this is my family, and I really, you know, I look forward in coming to church so I can see my family and talk to you and blend my spirit with you. And so anyway, I love you guys, and just pray for my family. Thank you.
It's good to be back. I'd like to thank God for everybody here who kept me in their prayers. And glad God's given me a second chance at life and given me a breath to wake up this morning. I'm learning more and more not to run on self-will, but to run on God's will and whatever He has planned out for me. And I'm just glad to be back and thankful for everybody. Thanks.
For God, you got to be inclusive, don't you? And that's that don't mean anything goes. That means in the things of God. Brother Durham mentioned some of those things from the 5th chapter of Matthew. You know, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And you know, that's what you want to be included on, isn't it? And you know, I had when I gave my heart to the Lord and returned to God, there's certain people I couldn't include. You know, they wasn't seeking or hunger or thirst after righteousness. So, you know, it wasn't so much that I didn't want to be my friend, but they just didn't want to go the path I was going. And there's a path. I appreciate what Brother Sean said about you know, not just going my will, but he's considering God's will, isn't he? Isn't that wonderful? My Lord. And that, I was talking to somebody, and I said, you know, it's really, that's really the miracle of God, that God can take a man and a woman's heart and change them, isn't it? And that a man, a woman, God can touch your heart so much that you'll consider your ways, and you will, you know, include God in your thought process and in your heart. And that's what, that's a miracle, isn't it? It's a miracle. I'd like to see healings, and I'm talking about, you know, withered arms. You know, I think that would be great. But there's still the God's plan of salvation is just such a great miracle. Such a great miracle. Certainly something to consider. And I appreciate that that God touched my heart and he included me. Yes. And talked to my heart, and still talks to my heart. Isn't that something? Isn't that a great, great God that will include you in on what he's doing, you know, or and have something for you, and as a group, and then sometimes individually, God gives you something. And I appreciate a God like that. I really do. I thought that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I was thinking of that, you know, and Brother Jerry got up and then started talking about being, you know, being included. Mm-hmm. It's just that word there, just something about that. You know, God, and thank you, Lord, for including me. Yes. And I turned to Matthew 5. That's what came to mind. And Brother Durham got up and said those things. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, you know, that did such a good job, too. I tend to butcher things up a little bit, but I'm thankful to be here. I thank God that he has extended his grace and mercy to each and every one of us and included us. Yes. Thank the Lord.
New technology. Been around here all my life, can't turn a mic on. But I'm really thankful to see a change in Sean. A lot of times you can just look somebody in the eye and you can see it. And I don't mean to, you know, to put more on him than he's ready for, and I don't mean to read more into it than is there. But I do see a change, and I'm thankful for that. And when somebody, you know, stands up and they say more in four sentences than some people do in 45 minutes, I mean, that means something to me. I feel something there, and I'm just thankful for that. I mean, I felt something when he stood up, and I see a brokenness, and you know, coming from kind of the same background. I mean, we're talking about testimonies. I was raised among this group of people. I was born here and felt like I couldn't. You know, I felt like I was owed something. You know, I thought, you know, I remember thinking that it was hard when my dad stepped down, because I went from being Brother Tucker's grandson to being Brother Weiniger's son to just being Brett. And then I never thought that would really hit me, and it really did. And it was still sometimes I wonder, you know, exactly where I am and what my place is. And I think we all think that from time to time. But having been raised in this and you know, went through the various things through, you know, Brother Tucker and then Brother Leninger, and then, of course, it was before Brother Leninger was when I went left and quit church and went out in the world and you know, did a lot of things. And, you know, it's easy to, you know, there's people that have a testimony that they never left, and then there's people that have the testimony that they left and came back. And sometimes, you know, I see the, you know, you go out there and you get the scars, you get the things in your life that you can never erase. The physical scars, the mental scars, the things that I worry, you know, I'm 50 years old now and I still wonder what things that I did when I was out there that's going to come back and haunt me later on in life. If we ever go undergo persecution, and the old friends that, if we ever get put up on a national spotlight, and that guy says, "I remember him doing this," that's not something I'm not looking forward to that. But also, it gives you a testimony where you can say, "This is not how I heard it is. This is how it is. This is what's out there. This is, you know, it." And you know, people say there's nothing out there. If there's nothing out there, people wouldn't leave and go. But there's nothing out there that lasts. And there's nothing out there that lasts. I remember, you know, probably one of the last times before I got back in church, when, you know, this is, you know, I'm going to kind of tell off on myself a little bit, that this is one of the reasons that Christmas is kind of a sore spot with me, is because when we gave up Christmas, you know, back when under Brother Tucker and under Brother Leninger, well, when I quit church, well, every Christmas, my family was gone to church functions. You know, Ponca City always had a meeting, or somebody had a meeting. Well, then all my friends that I used to run around with and party with, they all went home to be with their families. So that, to me, Christmas is a time that I think is a lonely time. It's when I think of, and that's the last time that I really had a bad experience was over Christmas, and it's just a lonely time if you're not living right, or if you know that's what Brother Smith talks about, having to, you know, basically you have to party twice as hard because you're trying to overcome a conscience, and I realize this, and when I see other people that go out into the world, and you know, I feel for those people because I know what they're facing. I know that you're running from something, and we're all running from something until you realize that there's nothing lasting out there, not a thing. I mean, not a thing. Even now, you know, people, you think that as you get older, you lose those temptations. Well, you lose some temptations, but you gain others. You know, and now I'm rambling, I know, but I just when Sean got up, it just took me back in time, you know, to when I was back there. And I know this is not about me, you know, but I appreciate the change that he's made. I know it's a struggle. I know we live in a crazy world that, you know, things are pulling on you all the time. And I, you know, I feel for our young people, and I appreciate the stand that they do make. I mean, I watch, you know, I see young people that, or all of us, you know, we don't have to be here. Well, we do have to be here, but we can make the choice. But when we make the choice to be here, I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate a Wednesday night. You know, and as hard as it is to come sometimes, you know, it'd be easy to kick your feet up and, nah, I'm too tired or whatever. But when you come and you see people that are of like spirit, that make that sacrifice and they come, I appreciate that. And what's more importantly, I believe God appreciates that. You know, I think about, you know, our kids that were growing up in this, and I think about the scripture, God remembers the iniquities of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. And I have to think that if God is a truly just God, that he doesn't just, if he remembers the iniquities, he remembers the good.
That's right. Yeah.
And that I believe that I have grace laid up for me. And I believe that I'm laying grace up for my kids. And I believe we're all laying up grace. And a lot of times when I think about, you know, I've said this before, you know, when you think about leaving, you think about leaving that covering. And I don't want to leave that covering. That's an insurance policy. And I think about, you know, the fact that I look, you know, I watch the news. I don't get as upset as I used to because I know it's in God's hands. If I didn't know it was in God's hands, all this mess that's going on over in the Middle East and who's going to win the election and this and that and so on, I could work myself into a frenzy in a minute. But I know that God's in control. And Brother Daniels always talks about and forget not his many benefits. And I think about that from time to time. And I think about, you know, when I do start to fret, I think about Brother Tally. And God is still on the throne. If, you know, that's the saying that I'll take to my grave. As Brother, you know, what I remember of Brother Tally. And I just appreciate being here tonight, and I appreciate what God's doing for us.
The tempter knocked, but somehow I found the strength to tell him no. What I once called pleasures, I just took and watched them go.
it's been a good service, and I was sitting there or standing there thinking, now what could I add before we could go home? And I thought, really, there's nothing to add. It's been a good meeting tonight, and I was glad to see Sean standing out in the parking lot when I pulled up. And then to the things he said, just in this very few words he said, told me where he was at. And it's good to know where you're at. And if you know, it doesn't matter when you finally reach that place in your life where you realize the things that I thought would make me happy are no longer making me happy. Whether some people it may be a lot of material things, a big house and the fancy cars, and some people it may be one more tattoo or another piercing, but that's irrelevant, really, because you're seeking some other source that to give you happiness and give you peace and contentment in your life, and you find out and you come to realization that is not what it's all about. Anyway, here I said something I wasn't going to. Want to make an announcement. Saturday is youth night. Me and Sister Cindy's in charge. We're going to meet here at the church around 6:30. We're at 6:30. We're going to play some games, and we're going to have an ice cream bar. So see Sister Cindy on what toppings. They want the youth to bring toppings, I guess. Is that right? So see her on what toppings to bring. I bet all the rest of y'all would like to come to the ice cream bar, wouldn't you, Sister Crow? Anyway, might show up anyway. I wouldn't blame you. So let's just thank God before we go home. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, please. Thank you.